Welcome to Labor Talks, a podcast by NJASAP and for NJASAP that shares important news and information that you consume on your schedule. Labor Talks will tackle vital topics like safety, contract administration, the labor management relationship, and how to navigate life as a NetJets pilot. And we will bring this information to you with the help of experienced union leaders, industry consultants, and subject matter experts. Whether you listen in your car, on the treadmill, or while working on tasks around your home, Labor Talks is a worthy investment of your time and attention. Join your fellow pilots and advocates as Labor Talks. Welcome to Labor Talks. I'm your host, Claire Carey, and mentor program chair, Captain Sarah Court, is joining me for episode 2 of Did You Know? Today, we will be discussing your release to initial operating experience, otherwise known as IOE, and your first recurrent training. So Sarah, once again, thank you for sitting down with me to try to help our new hires.
Thank you for having me, Claire. I did like nothing more than helping our new hire pilots.
All right, Sarah. So I am a new hire. I've just finished type training and I travel home from type training. What are my responsibilities following that? Because I have not yet been awarded a schedule and I'm awaiting IOE.
That's a great question, and it's a very important question. You are guaranteed 5 days off after your training. Your travel home day is not included in those 5 days off. So you have 5 days just free as a bird to sleep in, do whatever you want. Day 6 is the first day that the company could send you out on IOE. Now, something that's a little complicated, and you will learn to either just hate it for your whole career at NetJets or just embrace it. And that is that you are responsible to look at your company phone at 6 p.m. before your first day of work or potential work, which is what day 6 is in this instance. And if you're ready, I can go through all of the different things that you could find out on that company phone on the 5th day.
I would love that. So, okay. So I return from type training. That's my travel day. And then go to sleep that night, and then it begins day 1 of my off days home before I'm obligated to check in for IOE. So then we go through the 5 days, and now you're saying at 6 p.m. on day 5, I have to check my company phone. So what would I be looking for on that device?
So what you're looking for, and let's just make it easy. You do your loft flight in the simulator on Saturday. You travel on Sunday, Monday through Friday, that's 5 days. Saturday, you're eligible to go on IOE.
Got
so
it.
Friday night, you need to check that phone by 6 p.m. There are a few different things that can be done. The company will send, and it's generally about 4:30 in the afternoon, 4:45, and this is your local time, your base local time, an email that will say, tomorrow is not a work day, and go do whatever you want. And then tomorrow, check again. If you are going on IOE on day 6, and it doesn't happen a lot, but it happens, you will get on your Waypoint app. And that's the app that I think of it as looking like an anchor, but I don't know what other people think of it. It's right there on your company phone. And you will get what we call a brief. Now, you got those in the simulator. You got those during in-doc. You acknowledged them. That's the kind of brief you'll have. If neither of those two things occur, then you need to call scheduling. And that is a number that you are, again, going to learn to just love and ask them for a verbal briefing or just say, am I working tomorrow? What happens sometimes, and this can become very complicated, sometimes there will be a delay in your paperwork getting sent to NetJets from flight safety. And in that case, they have not gotten you onto the queue for those emails that say tomorrow's not a work day. And that would be the reason you would not get either an email or a Waypoint brief.
Okay. So it's not unusual to not see that email immediately following your 5 days off.
Yes. Don't freak out.
Right.
You should expect your mentor to give you a call after you finish flight safety. Now, sometimes schedules change, something changes and your mentor may not realize that you have finished flight safety, call your mentor. Say, hey, I just finished flight safety. I just got my type grade. And they will say, congratulations. And then you can talk all about IOE and all of these questions will come up then also. So you're not alone. If you have any questions, call your mentor. If they don't answer, call Ron or myself. That's Ron Wagner, who is the co-chair of the program. And if neither of us are available, you know, we're all pilots. We could be in airplanes. Go ahead and call that steward on duty, the number you should have put in your phone during the new hire dinner. And you can also find very easily on the NJASAP app.
So, Sarah, I've heard that for some people, IOE can, or waiting for IOE can take anywhere from a month to, less fortunately, 6 months. Let's say I have, a family member's wedding at some point while I'm awaiting IOE. Are there ways I can request off for that event?
Absolutely, yes. So there is a crew capacity is what it's called. And they are the ones that will be scheduling your IOE. So it's just one big word, crew capacity, at netjets.com. And that is where you can request a day off if you've got a long wait for IOE. It could be that you have a doctor's appointment, you're closing on a house, some important date. I would caution to use your asks wisely. I wouldn't be sending, can I have this day off every week? But certainly, NetJets understands that it is tough to sit there and have to wait until between 4:30 and 5 every day to find out whether you're working or not.
And I assume you would recommend that someone either reach out to their mentor or the steward prior to sending that email?
Sure. Yeah. It's not that hard to do, but like the advice of don't ask for a day every week and how to word things, make sure that it is a polite request. And also how to react if they say, I'm sorry, but you're next in line and I've got you paired with a captain already. Then you say, thank you very much. I will await my brief.
All right. So preparing for IOE, what steps can I take to set myself up for a successful IOE tour?
You know, it's the same as going to flight safety. The flows, because they're so new when you just get out of your initial training in the sim, you can lose them very easily. So those flows, you should still have a cockpit poster. Just, you know, not the first 2 or 3 days because you need a break. The training is very, very tough. But after
the first 2 or 3 days off you're talking about?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, the first 2 or 3 of your 5 days. But especially if your weight drags out, know those flows and callouts. Know your limitations and immediate actions items. Of course, those are on your QRC, and all of this is in comply. And know that stuff. You know, you want to hop into your IOE seat with a good first impression from your training captain. And being able to do that stuff seamlessly is going to help a lot.
Mm-hmm. So obviously now we're going to be in the airplane for IOE as opposed to the simulator for training. Is there any like specific operational things or airplane specific things beyond the mechanics, I guess it, or the physical operating of the aircraft that one should kind of look at within their comply to prepare themselves for actual operations on the road?
Absolutely. Yes. One thing is you may have noticed that there's no cabin in the simulator. there are no wings. And so you can review your duties in Chapter 2 of the FOM and the SIC duties. You will notice your duties are not to do the outside walk around, but to do the inside cabin pre-flight. Now, you're not just going to be thrown into IOE and the training captain says, okay, go pre-flight the cabin. Where's the fire extinguisher? That's not how they do it. You will get what we like to call the big pre-flight. There should be 3 hours scheduled. As soon as you meet up with that IOE captain, wherever it may be, your first 3 hours of duty should be the big pre-flight where your IOE captain will show you everything. You will probably have a chance at that point to practice your safety brief for the owners, because that is part of the SIC duty as well. And those things, you can prepare a little bit. Your IOE captain will certainly help you out. Nobody expects you to know exactly what the latitude cabin looks like if you've never been in it. But again, comply. It's like an encyclopedia, that thing. You've got a stalking guide in there. You've got a sample of your passenger brief in there, all kinds of stuff. So that's stuff you can prepare for. But if you do go out on IOE quickly, your IOE captain will help you through that.
Sarah, do you have any frequently asked question and answers that you receive at your new hire dinners that you'd like to include?
One question we get a lot, and I have to admit, I myself chuckled, not in front of the class, but to myself at the end of it, what do I pack?
Sure.
That kind of thing. And for those of us who've been at NetJets for as long as I have, you know,
you have it down to a science.
You have it down to a science, absolutely. But it can be tough. And another question, and this is generally not in the new hire dinner, but sometime during training, is, well, how long am I going out on IOE? And those two are related, obviously, because however long you're going to be on the road is going to kind of dictate what you pack. But the answer to how long am I on IOE is up to 7 days or more. So when you start at NetJets for in-doc, for initial, and until you finish IOE, you are on what is called the training schedule. A lot of people will refer to that as the 72-day schedule because it follows most of what the 72-day schedule has, meaning that you get 72-day pay rate and that you work a certain amount of days per month. However, they can give you more. But basically, you work when the company tells you to work, especially waiting for IOE. They cannot schedule you for more than 7 days. But if they say, hey, you're going out for IOE with Training Captain Joe, and you're going out for 5 days, and then on day five, Joe goes home and Training Captain Susan comes along, and they say, oh, we're going to keep you out for a couple days because Susan's free to be your training captain now. That is not extended day pay. That is their choice. They can extend you to 7 days. Now, if Susan says, hey, I've got another day of duty, why don't you extend and stay with me? If you work 8 days, you do get an extended day. And I realize this is incredibly complicated. Even the idea of the extended days is complicated. These are things to ask your mentor. But when it comes to packing, you want to always be packed for 7 days, no matter how long they tell you that they're sending you out. And most people only bring one blazer on the road. I think we talked about this a little in the last one, 2 pairs of pants and 5 to 7 shirts. I take 7 shirts because I'm a spill maker. So, you know, I'm constantly spilling.
Got the coffee drips all over.
Right.
It's never water. It's always coffee.
Always coffee. Right. So, and you have to be, it's the wintertime, it's good that we're doing this at this time of year, because in the wintertime, you have to be prepared for Sioux Falls. Where is that? South Dakota, I think?
One of the Dakotas.
Yeah, somewhere cold. Minnesota, let's just make it easy. You have to be prepared for Minnesota and the Bahamas.
Yes, you do.
So, you have to be, you know, pack accordingly so that you have something to wear in both places.
Yeah, packing is definitely a science that, or a skill that gets honed with time here.
Yes, yes. And, you know, if you want to work out, you bring workout clothes. I know a lot of people will, they'll use the t-shirt they wore, go to the gym so that you don't need you just need gym shorts. You don't need shirts. So, you know,
like the undershirt they wore?
Yeah, like the undershirt you wore today. If you go to the gym after you fly, they just wear that undershirt to the gym and it cuts down on the packing a little bit.
So. I swear we could probably do a whole episode on packing hacks.
I know. And everybody does it differently.
Everyone does it differently. Some people like do their laundry or bring like little soap sheets and whatnot. It's interesting to hear everyone's tricks.
Yeah.
Anything else you feel the new hires should be aware of prior to IOE?
Study and be ready. Your electronic devices, we refer to them as an EFB, electronic flight bag. So you are responsible for those being up to date with the latest version of all of the myriad of apps that are on there. You're responsible to show up with them charged up so that they are usable. And just to make things really complicated, on Waypoint, under Quick Links, you can see what all of the latest versions of your operating system, iOS, and Waypoint and Comply and all of those things under a conveniently titled Flight Revision Status Report that then has an EFB option.
Perfect.
Yes. And that can also be found under Comply. Comply has to be synced before you head on out on the road. And that just means that you open it and it should automatically sync. If it doesn't, there's a button you can just press. And then you may or may not have some additions or revisions or things from the company that you have to comply with reading. But those will be when you open it. I go to work on Saturdays. So on Friday, I check to make sure everything is up to date. And that's going to be your Comply, your iPreflight Genesis, and your Jet Flight Deck Pro. So those are the main ones. And you know, again, when you go to your first day of IOE, you're not expected to be an expert at being a NetJets pilot. That's what IOE is for. But if you show up your first day of IOE and every single thing on your phone and your iPad is out of date and your iPad's at 50%, that is not going to start your training experience well. Now, if you go and you say, oh, I updated this, this, and this, is there anything I'm missing? That's fantastic, right? Your IOE captain is going to say, oh, great job. Looks like you missed Genesis. Let's do that now. So that's the way to get yourself started off on the right foot.
That's a helpful tip.
I have another one.
Oh, let's hear it.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time. I tell all of my people to check the aircraft logbook, and that you can access on Waypoint through the top right and look through the recent maintenance. Now, you're supposed to do that anyway, but there's so much going on. It's such a fire hose of information, but that really impresses the IOE captain. If you can say, oh, it looks like they changed the tires on this plane 3 days ago, they're going to think, well, this person's really on the ball.
They did their homework.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will get my brief prior to the day I go out on IOE, and you mentioned expecting a three-hour block of time for my big pre-flight. What else can I kind of expect in that brief?
So the briefs are, it will have your show time. It will have your show place. And it's difficult sometimes to figure out the show time because it's up there on the top and it's kind of hidden a little bit. But make sure you know your show time. Make sure you know your show place. And if your show place is the FBO, if you're supposed to show at 8 a.m. at the FBO, and this would be your home base FBO, you're supposed to be there at 8 a.m., right? If you're supposed to show up 8 a.m. at the terminal, and by be there at 8, I mean not in the parking lot, sitting in the FBO. If you're supposed to show up at the terminal, same thing. Not on the bus riding in from the parking lot, not on the bus riding in from the FBO, but at the terminal. You don't have to go through security, but at the terminal. I like to say the front door of the terminal. You can walk inside if it's cold out, but so the show line will tell you when your show is, and then it will tell you what you're doing. So it will say crew travel, and it might have an airline, especially JFK, Teterboro, places like that. You may have some kind of transportation, ground transportation, and it will describe what that is. Often you will see that when you try to click on the ground transportation and see if it's a rental car or a CLS or something like that, there's nothing there. And that's because they don't bother booking that stuff until closer to the time in case things change. And that's fine. It can take a little while to get used to kind of not knowing. But if you are in your show place at your show time, you have no worries. And then if you have questions, don't be afraid to call scheduling. And they can be accessed through the little phone icon on Waypoint when you go into your brief.
So basically, if I have any questions about my brief, I could contact scheduling via the Waypoint app?
That is correct, yes. There is a way to do a text to them. And there's also a way to call, which if you need to know a little bit quicker. And do not be nervous if things start to change, and things will change. And unfortunately, our brand new pilots going out on IOE tend to get some of the crazier briefs because you cannot just be paired with anybody. You have to be paired with a training captain. And so sometimes they will put strange duty rest periods on your brief and things like that. And that's just a kind of an internal reminder to the schedulers that you cannot be sent off with another captain. You'll often get what they call standby at residence. And that is because your IOE captain's out flying and they don't know where he or she is going to end up. And so they're going to just wing it and give you travel to go meet your captain in the morning. So at 6 p.m. when you get your brief, they know you're flying with training captain X, but they don't know where training captain X is going to be at 8 a.m. the next day. So they'll put you standby at residence starting at 6 or 7 or something like that. And my advice is whatever time you need to get up to be ready to leave your house when you check in at the house, that's what, wake up at that time and do a brief update.
And speaking of training Captain X, do you think I would hear from them the night before my first day of IOE, or am I just going to show up at the airport and meet them for the first time?
I think that you often will hear from your training captain. However, sometimes your training captain will be flying around the night before and they may not have even seen their brief yet for the next day. If you don't hear from your training captain the night before, don't get nervous. You should hear from them the next day. Now, another thing is most of your mentors are going to say, hey, take a picture and send it to me. And that's with your personal phone instead of taking a screenshot on your NetJets phone and sending it off to your mentor. And the only reason for that is that's, you know, it's proprietary property. We can't be taking screenshots on our NetJets phone and texting them out to random people. Not that your mentor's a random person, but take a picture and then your mentor can go line by line and explain to you what's going on.
Okay. So take a picture of the brief in case I have any questions to ask my mentor.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And again, if you have a 5 a.m. show and everything has changed on your brief and you don't understand it, your mentor's probably not awake at 5 unless they're on the road flying. But the steward on duty is always there for you. And, you know, I get a lot of people, they're doing the big pre-flight, the 3-hour pre-flight, and they don't have a trip scheduled. So there's no FBO on there. And so they airline in to say Denver, and they don't know where they're supposed to go. They know they're supposed to go to an FBO to do the pre-flight. And especially if it's an airport with some have 2 or even 3 FBOs, that's a call to scheduling or even just a text. Hi, I'm flying into so-and-so. What's the FBO? And you can actually even ask them the phone number for the FBO and you can try to call the FBO to get a ride from the terminal to the FBO. I know it sounds incredibly complicated, and it is, and that's why we have IOE, and it takes generally at least 2 tours to finish the IOE because so much goes on at NetJets. It's not like you're at Delta and you show up in Atlanta and there you are and you're good to go. And the main thing I would say, the main thing to remember is be at your show place at your show time. And if you are there, then you are as close as you can possibly to be to where you're supposed to be. Now they can change your schedule and say, oh my gosh, jump in a cab and go here or there. So, and one last thing, sorry, I'm talking a lot, Claire, but do not forget to order food.
Oh, that's good advice.
It can be a long day if you don't have anything to eat.
Yes, it can. And unless your first duty of the day is an airline, I highly recommend ordering food at the first place you are able to get it from.
Absolutely.
Because you don't know if your schedule is going to change and you don't want to be chasing food all day. And IOE, you could walk into it thinking, I'm big, I'm bad, I'm tough, I've got this down, but it is tiring. It's tiring. So you're going to need your energy. You're going to need your food. Take care of yourself.
Yes. And some of our new hires might not even have figured it out yet that we have three crew food options. The company automatically puts you on option one, which is the option where you can order crew food from them. And it is their responsibility to make that crew food follow you around the country, even if your schedule changes. So if you say, okay, I'm supposed to be in Minneapolis at noon, I'm going to order lunch at noon, and they send you to Denver, it's their job to get that food to Denver. So my advice, I'm not going to go into all of the complications of the three crew food systems, but my advice is at least through IOE, stay on one.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would double down on that. Stay on option one for crew food in IOE. And as this series progresses and as your time at NetJets progresses, we will walk you through option two and three. And as I get the notes in front of my face regarding the details of option two and three, I can talk you through them.
Perfect. Perfect.
Excellent advice. All right. So fast forwarding from IOE to recurrent training, what can I kind of expect there? I guess how long after my initial can I expect my recurrent?
Well, that's a good question. And fortunately, I don't have a perfect answer. The idea is to get everybody in between 6 and 9 months. I know some people do get stretched a little bit. And it all has to do with sim slots. But you should expect I would be ready for it anytime after 6 months. And by being ready for it, that just means looking at your schedule. You may not have noticed on the crew leave balance section of your vector that during your training, you had all kinds of N's and G's for training, travel, and training days and things like that. That's what you'll see on your schedule when you are scheduled for IOE. I'm sorry, when you're scheduled for recurrent. You will see the training and travel day nomenclature on your crew leave balance.
And then how long, so I can expect a travel day, training days, followed by a travel day, and how long is recurrent?
So recurrent is a 7-day footprint. So you travel on day one, you go to the Bridgeway Avenue, which is the same place that your indoc took place. And it's the room next door to where you did indoc. And you'll have a full day of kind of NetJets training. They'll have a bunch of people come in and present anything from cybersecurity to the safety department to people who talk about reading charts and things like that. And then day two is also ground school, and you will generally do half of that day at NetJets at Bridgeway Avenue and then meet your fleet program director somewhere. Sometimes it'll be over at Bridgeway for lunch, basically, and sometimes it will be over at Flight Safety. And they will kind of give you an overview of all the changes, all the updates, things that have gone on, so that if you maybe, like I did, went on vacation and missed one of your fleet program director newsletters, they'll kind of talk to you about all of the hot topics that are going on, things like that, that with your fleet specifically, not all of NetJets. And then that afternoon, you'll do systems. And with the AQP, we split the systems into two parts. Now, the nice thing is that I don't know, a week or so prior to your training, there will be a kind of an AQP overview that will populate in your comply library. And so you can read that and you can know what systems if you want to kind of brush up on them. And then you go into the simulator and it's 3 simulator sessions. There are 2 different kinds of recurrent that you can do. There's an AQP1 and an AQP2. One of them starts with what we call a maneuvers validation. And that is a little bit more like your traditional check ride. But you just go through all the maneuvers that you're supposed to do. Day 2 is kind of real training. And they will take a lot of things we were doing for a long time, extended envelope training. And that was because of some industry incidents. So they do a good job of seeing what's going on in the industry and giving us some training on things like that. And then day 3, you will do LOE, which is basically just a flight. Each crew member will have a chance to be the flying pilot for that. And it is just a flight. There will be something that is a little bit unusual. It could be a TCAS RA. It could be a runway change. Who knows what it is, but this is not something where engines are catching fire and hydraulics are failing and, you know, you're struggling to get the plane on the ground. They really want to see how you operate and are you doing it by the NetJets SOPs.
So you mentioned kind of the company recurrent that happens the first day and a half. Is there any way I can prepare for that, or is it just kind of coming in and having a discussion?
Yeah, it's just coming in and having a discussion. I would prepare by getting a good night's sleep because you don't want to fall asleep in front of management personnel. But
that's good advice.
There is some preparation that you can do, and this is preparation just for recurrent in general. All the new hires did CBTs or computer-based training or FOX training, whatever you called it, during your in-doc, and there is FOX training or computer-based training with recurrent as well. Now, they do give you time. Well, they give you time on the schedule for doing that training, but that makes for very, very long days. And I think the majority of pilots finish their FOX training or at least a big portion of it before they show up in Columbus. That populates. Now, you want to be a little bit careful about that because you want to do it in the month of your training. But I believe that the company is getting better and they're populating it into FOX later so people don't get into those problems.
Got it. And that's something that probably shouldn't be done while sitting getting management briefings, I imagine.
Absolutely not. If anybody has any questions about computer-based training, do it on your computer, one at a time, and actually do it. The company has the ability to see exactly when you started and exactly when you ended those CBTs. And if you have 4 of them that all started and ended at the same time on the same day, that's going to be an issue. So there are no cheats or workarounds. You just do it.
don't think you're original coming up with a new trick.
Right. Yeah. It's all been tried and the company has not been happy when they have figured out, and for good reason. You know, these are FAA training modules.
Anything else that you'd like to add, you know, in regards to someone's first recurrent?
Sure. So the as far as studying, it's exactly the same as studying for initial and studying for IOE, you know. Sometimes you might show up for recurrent and you haven't flown as much as you would have liked because you waited for IOE. It's those SOPs, those memory items on the QRC and the limitations. If you can spout those out, you're in great shape. Look and comply at the training schedule and see what systems they're going to go over. And, you know, I still have my notes from my last type rating and I pull them out and go through them before I go to any kind of training event. So
All right, Sarah. Well, if you have nothing else to add about IOE or Recurrent, I think we've talked their ears off enough for this one.
I think so. I feel like I was a little long-winded on this one. Oh, you know, I do have one other thing to add, if I may. And that's about the schedule, the schedule footprint. For anybody who's on a CC schedule or a 7 and 7, you should be scheduled to coincide with the days of the recurrent. They can slide your schedule if you're on a 7 and 7. So be aware of that. If you are on the 8 and 6, you do have to bring a uniform with you to recurrent, because it is not probable but possible that on day 7, which is your travel home day, you could in fact travel to either the Columbus Airport terminal or travel to somewhere else, and they have day 8 that you could theoretically go fly. So you do need to bring a uniform if you're on an 8 and 6 schedule.
Yep, good to know. And that's a good transition. We will be having an episode concerning the bidding period. We'll talk about bidding schedules post-IOE and all that fun stuff. We'll get in a scheduling expert to talk to you all about that. All right, Sarah. Well, thank you so much again for your time. And thank you everyone again for joining us on today's edition of Labor Talks. If you want to learn more about today's episode or have questions, please email mentor@njasap.com. The first available mentor will provide you with support and information.
Thank you, Claire. Always a pleasure to chat with you.
Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Labor Talks. If you haven't already done so, please follow NJASAP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @NJASAP. Show your support for the union with comments, likes, and shares. If you enjoyed this episode, encourage your fellow NJASAP members to tune in, and please share recommendations for future podcast episodes with us at podcast@NJASAP.com. Stay tuned for our next episode, and until then, this is Labor Talks, presented by NJASAP.